Amen. Thank you, young ladies.
Amen.
Excellent job. I tell you, I thoroughly enjoyed this morning service. The children singing and doing their part. The message that was preached. I'm sure all of us can say that God knows what He's doing. We were supposed to have Children's Sunday 2 weeks ago, but we felt like, sometimes you feel like a wrench gets thrown in your plans, but God knows what He's doing. God knows that someone needed that message this morning. Amen. And God had everything in His perfect will and His perfect plan, and we're having Children's Emphasis Sunday today, and God has the message He's been working on my heart for a reason to be preaching it tonight instead of 2 weeks ago. I don't know, but I know God does, and I know God is in control. I agree 100% with the message that was preached this morning, a truth that is definitely needed. I actually was talking about teaching your children, and before I get into that, I do want to, I failed to mention some people that work with their children's ministry, just in nervousness and things, and, you know, you never been up here, you don't, you know, you might know that you get a little nervous standing and doing God's will, especially when you're preaching God's word or just anytime getting up here. Amen, Brother Davey? You get nervous. But I did fail to mention the ladies that work with the music with our children, Sister Wanda and Sister Carrie. As we saw them working with the children this morning, I failed to mention their names, as Sister Wanda works with our children's choir, and Sister Carrie, as we saw, does with the children's groups. And I appreciate the work and the hard work they put into it. Amen. And also, I wanted to mention Brother Adam and Sister Mariah also, and Brother Calvin, Sister Buffy. They head up ministries that are, you know, I could say, you know, I'm ahead of the children's ministries, but there's people under me that head up parts of it that make my job a lot easier. You know, a lot of stuff that they do may look like I'm getting the credit, but really they should be getting the credit. Brother Adam and Sister Mariah work with the Wednesday night groups with the 4-year-olds through the third grade. And Brother Calvin and Sister Buffy work with our juniors, and they head up those ministries, and I appreciate those that head up the ministries that are underneath of me in the children's ministry, and I just want to give them extra recognition. Now, to go back to what I was saying, I wasn't supposed to do this, but I'm going to embarrass her. Tara, I'm going to call you up here, because I think you should come up here. Tara asked her if she would share with the church something that happened in her heart on Wednesday. And so I'm going to ask you just to tell the church what happened to you on Wednesday.
I got saved.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm not going to make her give the testimony. I'll explain it to her. She was a little nervous to even come up and do it, but I think it would be good for her to just let the church know that. And I'm excited. This was the last of my children that I was able to lead to the Lord. And now, as a happy parent, that all three of my girls are saved, their sins are forgiven, on their way to heaven.
Amen.
Thank you, Tara. What Pastor was preaching this morning, I dealt with that with Tara Lynn for a long time. She knew she wasn't saved all the way up until then. She's not one that thought she was saved. She knew she wasn't saved, and she always had questions about it. And she, many times when she was younger and we would talk with her, she didn't quite have the understanding, and we would continue to pray and continue to wait on God bringing her into that point. And I know fairly recently we had a good talk where I felt she understood, but there was no conviction. There was no repentance. And as a parent, as a Christian parent, you would struggle. I could easily, a long time ago, led her to pray and said, you know what you need to do. You need to pray. You need to ask God to forgive you. And she would have been lost, thinking she's saved. And it was a struggle. But the truth that was preached this morning is something that God has showed me, and I knew that there needed to be repentance. I knew there needed to be a drawing of the Holy Spirit. And she came to us Wednesday because of an assignment in her class. She's supposed to write her testimony. Well, she didn't have a testimony. She hadn't been saved. And out of embarrassment, she come talking to us, wondering what to do. And I knew then there was the pressure was on to not lead her to a prayer and say, okay, let's say this prayer so you can now have a testimony. And we had a long conversation, I mean, into late into the night, and God brought conviction on her heart, and it came to the point of where she was crying, and then I was like, hey, I'm not going to make you get saved. You understand what you need to do, and I'm not going to make you get saved. If you want to go to bed, you can go to bed. And she walked off, and Betty took her to bed, and then I started getting ready for bed with a heavy heart, and came out. She was back in the room. She went upstairs and said she wasn't going to be able to sleep, and was able to, I mean, she was already under conviction. She knew, as I explained, it's got to be a sorrow in your heart. You got to be sorry. And I explained Romans 10, you know, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's got to be both. You can't just say the words and get saved. It's got to be in your heart. And she wanted to get saved, and I didn't even lead her. I said, you know what you need to do? Just pray and ask God. And she, on her own, told God that she was sorry. And she wanted God to save her, and I'm excited. I'm happy. But there was repentance. There was conviction. There was the drawing of the Holy Spirit, those things that we knew that we needed, and we were waiting and praying that God would do it, and God did Wednesday, and I'm so glad, I'm so happy that Tara surrendered, that she repented and got saved on Wednesday, and we're looking forward to continue to raise our girls and the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The message... Amen. It is. I'm excited. I knew some of the children's workers knew, and you've been praying with us, and I thank you for praying for Tara as we've been praying for her, and that God would bring her to that point. God has laid this message on my heart from Proverbs 22 for quite a while, and again, I thought I'd be preaching this 2 weeks ago, but God has been working and developing, and let me ask this question to start. By raise a hand, show of hands, because I'd like to know who you are. Who in here is an expert parent? Nobody? No hands up, huh? Only mine, but that was just by example. That wasn't for real. Expert parents. We don't have any expert parents, and I, for one, want to say I'm not. I'm still raising my children. Some of you have reared your children. Your children are gone, and your training, your children days are, for the most part, say, over. I mean, you still have an influence in your children's lives, even as adults. But you may say, like, we're going to focus on verse number 6 this evening, train up a child in the way it should go. So, well, what authority, as was preached this morning, what authority do you have? What authority do you have to preach on rearing children? I can't say that I'm an expert, but I can say I have the Word of God that you have in your lap right there too, and we're going to study the Word of God, and we're going to see what God says about rearing children, about training children. As I said, I knew God had laid this message on my heart as I prayed and sought what to preach for Children's Emphasis Sunday, and you struggle. Knowing that, you know, my children are young. I've yet to see the result of my children being reared in my home, the finished result. I've seen some results, and I am proud of my children. I'm thankful for the children God's given me. I think I have good children. But I can't say I'm an expert. So I'm not going to tell you from me. Let's look at the Word of God. And I think sometimes we rush through scriptures. And I guess I'm going to have to get a little louder. Sometimes we rush through scriptures and we get bits and pieces of what God's trying to say because we're getting in a hurry. I know when I was younger, I used to follow a reading chart to read the Bible through in a year. And I went away from that for a long time. This year, I didn't follow a chart, but I had the desire that I'm just going to start and read the Bible through. Most of the time, I would read the Bible and then God would draw me to another part and I'd start studying a different section. I'd jump around, but I wouldn't start from the beginning and go all the way through the end, as some do. But sometimes when you do that, you try to hit your goal, your daily whatever it is that you have. I got to read this section of scripture today, and you get it to get it over with. And sometimes we miss what it has. And sometimes I think maybe with this verse, it seems so simple. It seems like it's easy to understand. Teach your children to do right, and they'll grow up right. That's kind of what we get from it. You know, as your child, you teach them right, and they'll grow up right. But I think we want to, this evening, what God has laid on my heart is to just take a little time in this verse of Scripture, and let's break it down and try to get a little more of what God has for us. It's that way with all Scripture. You read it, but the Word of God is alive. We understand that, right? You're not going to get everything every time you read the Bible, because when you come back, because it's a living book, because it's alive, God's got more for you. It's not dead. You're not going to go to the Bible and exhaust everything God has for you. You'll go back and you'll get more. But I want us to go and get a little bit more from this passage of Scripture this evening. I think when you look at verse number 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. I think that's a goal you have for your children. You want them to have a good name and loving favor rather than silver and gold. That's a goal that you have for your children as a parent. Amen? Amen? You want your child to grow up and have that good name. You want your child to grow up and have something that's more valuable than silver and gold, more valuable than great riches. You want them to have something more valuable than that. So you have a goal for your children. And God's given us a formula in verse number 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. So we're going to just take some time and go through this one verse here in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 6. Look at the way the verse starts. Train up. Train up. Again, as I said, what we kind of get from this verse is teach a child to do right, and they'll grow up right. But the word train is a lot deeper than teach. We all understand what the word train is, right? Anyone in here ever ran a marathon? I don't know if you have, so I'm asking. Brother Terry, anyone else ever ran a marathon? We got one marathoner. All right, half marathon. My hand's up on this one. Brother Tracy. Sister Buffy, we got Mary. Tiana, you said you had brain? Oh, just Mary, Sister Mary. Sister Jennifer. So a few have ran half marathons, and we got one marathoner. I can guarantee those that raised their hand would raise their hand on this one. Did you train? One day? 1 week? 2 weeks? 3 weeks. If you trained even to do a half marathon, which I've done, it takes months. It takes months to condition and get your body to be able to go 13 miles, and in Brother Terry's case, 26.2 miles. That's incredible. But it's not something that's just going to happen overnight. It's just something you're just going to decide and say, you know what, I think I'll run a marathon tomorrow. It's something you're going to have to decide months in advance, years maybe in advance, this is what I want. And you're going to have to start training. It's going to take work. You're going to have to get up. You're going to have to hurt your body. You're going to have to sacrifice some things to get to that point. And so when I look at this word train, I got a little bit of understanding of what that means of training, because, and I think we all do, because I've went through it. I've done that where I decided, you know what, I'm going to do this. And it wasn't something I could just get up the next day and do. I had to work myself up. I had to go a mile. I had to go 2 miles. I had to force myself, okay, now do 3 miles and 4 miles and 5 miles, and get to your point where you can say, okay, I need to go 13 miles on my feet without dropping dead. And you got to get yourself to do that. There's diets. There's routines. There's things that you got to condition to do for training. It's just more than teach. It's more than just instruct. There's more to it than just doing this. In training, the word training definition, I looked this up. One definition is to give the discipline and instruction, drill, practice, etc., designed to impact proficiency or efficiency. Another definition, to undergo discipline and instruction, drill, etc. Another definition, this is a training. To get oneself into condition for an athletic performance through exercise, diet, practice, etc. It takes work. It takes time. First off, it has to be that decision that needs to be made. I am going to do this. And then you got to come up with a plan of how to get it done. The Bible doesn't say train yourself in this case. What does it say? Train up a child. Instead of you becoming the one training, you now become the trainer. The trainer is a little different. The trainer knows that the person that's being trained is going to have to put in the work. The trainer knows that the person is going to take time. It's going to take a lot of effort. It's going to take a lot of work to get that person from where they are to where they need to be. But they also have to know patience. Because you could tell someone, well, you ought not be like that. A trainer, if you go to a gym and get a trainer, they could say, well, you ought to lose weight. Well, okay. So tomorrow I'll be skinny. No. They need to know, okay, I need to get you from where you are to where you need to be, and this is how I'm going to do it. I can't just say, okay, you can't eat until you're skinny. No, you need to be able to have a plan and to slowly get that person where they are. So your children, you know where your children, or we're going to talk about where your children ought to be, and the way he should go, right? Are they going to be there just because you say, okay, this is what you ought to do? No, you got to work with them. You got to bring them on. You got to take them at the point where they are and slowly work at the level they are and teach them and instruct them. Okay, this is what you can take at this moment. Let's work on this. Let's bring you where you ought to be. And when you get that down, we're going to work on this. When you get that down, we're going to work on this. And we're going to slowly train you as a parent to their child where you ought to go. So the word train, there's more to it than just reading over. Train up a child in the way she should go. It's a lot deeper when I see that. Training. Be able to push others and know not to push them too much. Because a trainer, a bad trainer, is one that could push someone too much, can hurt someone. Amen? A trainer can hurt someone. And as a parent, you can hurt your children. Oh, I don't want to be a cause of hurting my children, and I know you don't, because you were too hard and pushed too much. But you also can't be lackadaisical, and you can't just sit back and say, well, you'll get there eventually. Just keep working. A trainer pushes, right? Because the person that needs the training doesn't have the character to do it themselves. That's why they need a trainer. You go to the gym and you want to better yourself, you get a trainer because you know, I'm not going to do this on my own. I need to get to this point, but I'm not going to do it on my own. So I need somebody to push me beyond where I want to go to help me get to where I need to go. And as a parent, that's what you need to do. So many parents want to be buddies. They want to be friends with their children that they don't want to push their children. They don't want to be the bad guy. Well, sometimes you got to be the bad guy. Sometimes you got to be the one that, because you know where they need to go. You know where they need to get to. You know what it takes to get them there, but you also got to be patient, but you got to push them. There has to be work involved. There has to be discipline involved. There has to be some things that aren't comfortable involved for this training. Train up, the Bible says. We train animals. Some people can't train their children. They could train a lion, a dolphin, a whale, dogs, cats. I don't know about cats, but they could train all these other animals to do what they ought to do because it takes work. It's the same thing with the animals. It's not going to happen overnight. And then another thing when I was reading and studying on this is when you're looking up the word train and definitions, and I didn't read all of them. It was a lot of definitions on train, but one of it was talking about training trees. And my mind goes back, if you ever look it up and study Google training trees, you'll see where people make trees do all kinds of crazy shapes, and some of them are incredible looking. But it takes work. They could take a tree, and as it's growing, can bend it and move it certain ways and tie it certain ways to where this tree will grow and make a shape. I mean, they got trees that look like people. They got trees that will kind of bend over. I seen this one picture where there was a whole group of trees where they came up in pretty much a 90-degree angle and then went a 90-degree angle up like a chair almost. All the trees were bent that way. Well, how did they get that way? They were trained. Someone worked with it. Someone took it. And when it was young, when it was moldable, when it was pliable, they worked that tree, and they couldn't let up. They couldn't just one day go out there and bend the tree and say, okay, now grow that way. They had to bend that tree. They had to put some boundaries so it would not go back to where it shouldn't be or where they didn't want it to be, whether it would be ropes or whatever it would be. They had to keep it there until it would form and strengthen. And then on its own, that tree would stay. Now you couldn't bend that tree if you wanted. That tree is permanently in that shape because it matured being trained that way. And I thought, wow, what an example of what this is talking about. Train, the Bible says, train up, the next two words, a child. A child. You got to start young. As a parent, some parents may say, well, I'll wait till my children get older and I'll reason with them. That's too late. You're too late then. You have to start young. When they're moldable, just like that tree, and you can't let up. You can't let up. You can't just say, okay, this is hard work, and it's hard work on my end to try to keep you where you ought to be, to try to mold you and train you where you ought to be. But once that tree matures and gets strong, you're not molding it then. You're not molding it then. It can only be done when it's young. It can only be done when it's young. And the Bible's saying, train up a child. You got to start when they're young. When you got children that are growing up in the house, the children that pretty much are in the children's ministries, and even some of those are getting to on the older end, are getting where you're almost too late if you hadn't started yet. But don't give up. I'm going to tell you, don't give up. Some of you get saved late in life or get instructed late in life and you've shown the Word of God and what you need to do, then get busy and ask for God's help. But those of you that are Christians and you have children, start them young. Start them young. I know it's hard. I've been through it. I'm probably going to embarrass her. But I remember as a brand new parent, you know, you got that beautiful baby girl, and she just wants to, you know, cuddle and all these things that you think. And then they get a little bit of a will on their own. And you say no, and they don't like that. And I can remember Toria when she was barely walking, you know, barely talking, just a little chubby thing, as all babies are. She did something. I don't remember what it was now. And I swatted her and told her no, told her to sit down on the ground as her punishment. She did not like that. She went to get up and walk away. I said no, and I swatted her again and sat her down. And then she got angry. You ever had a baby get angry? Well, if you've been a parent, you know. If you're training your children, you've probably had your baby get angry. Well, she got angry. She started flailing her arms, screaming. Tried it again. Swat the tail even more now. Sit down. Don't you move. And this went on. Someone's going to be calling protective service on me. This went on for a long time. And each time it got worse on her. And eventually, it clicked. Eventually, I was doubting it. I was thinking, is this child going to ever get it? Because I kept getting harsher and harsher and harsher and harsher each time. And she kept getting madder and madder. And eventually, she cried, but she didn't move. And she sat there. And each one of my children had tried it, but once they got to that point where they knew, they never tried that again. It clicked. It got in there. So I know it's hard work. And you got to start young. And I'm thinking, you know, when they barely even talking and barely even walking, yes, at that point. When they know they're doing wrong, you can instruct them. That is wrong. You listen. You do what I say. And you think, well, that's horrible. I can't do that. Then you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble trying to mold that bigger tree. It's not going to work as good. You're not going to get it where it ought to be. It's going to take a lot more work when they're older. The Bible says, train up a child. Next words, in the way. In the way. When I read this here, I think of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. It's the same word. The same word, way. Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. There's two different words there, ways and paths. And if you understand Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6, you understand that it's worded different because it means different. It's two different things. The word way here is like a manner, a habit. A path is a way of living. More lines with character. God says if you would, with your manners and your habits, would acknowledge him, then he will direct your character, your way of living. And God says here, train up a child in the way, not the path. Because too many parents try to be God. Too many parents try to be the Holy Spirit and say, this is God's will for your life. Well, you're not the Holy Spirit. And God wants you to direct them in the way. God wants you to train them in the way so God can direct their path. Not you. Not you. In the way. You work on their character. I mean, on their habits. You work on their manners. You teach them the things that are right. You teach them what's right and what God says. And allow God to show them his will. Allow God to put that path in front of them. Sometimes we try to pave the way. We pave a road ahead of them and say, this is the only way you're going to walk. And you don't allow God to work on their heart. You don't allow God to lead them. And so when they're older and they make these decisions, they think, well, I'm doing this because mom and dad told me. And God's never been real to them. And God's never worked on their heart. And God's never spoke to them because you not allowed it. You try to train them in the path. God says train them in the way. And then it says he should go. Train up a child in the way he should go. Not, again, you want them to go. God has a will for each and every person. And it's time for parents to realize God has a will for my child. And it's not always my will. I'm not training them in my will. I'm not training them to do what I want. I've heard a term when I was in Bible college where they talk about a lot of Christians that are mama called and papa sent. Because they're the same thing. Mama and daddy told the child, this is what you're doing. They never allowed God to lead them. They never let it be true to where they know and they could testify and say, I know God is directing me this way. I know God called me to do this. I know God wants me here. I know God wants me to do this with my life. The will of God is real because God spoke to me because mom and dad's voice was too strong in their ears trying to direct their paths. And as parents, we got to be very careful not to be the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to be the Holy Spirit in our children's lives. In the way, the right direction. Point them towards the right direction. Don't pave their path. It's a difference. A way. Sometimes you've got to work at it. Sometimes you've got to knock some trees down. You've got to do these things. But when you pave that path and say, this is it, then you become God. You become the Holy Spirit. Point them in the right direction. Get them moving towards God. Get them moving in the right direction. You don't know their path in life that they're supposed to be, the will of God for their life, but God does. But you do know the right way. God's given us a whole book of instructions on what's the right way. And you can train your children in that way. You know what one of the things that we should train our children to do? What do we know? We know we're supposed to read the Word of God. Matthew 4:4 says, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You could train your children to read the Bible. That's the way. That's the way for everybody. Every Christian should know that this is a book that I need every day in my life. More than bread. Because I can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I need this book. And you can train your children to read the Bible. That's not paving their path. That's leading them in the way. Read the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. What do we know is right? What do we know is the right way? Pray. Train your children. Read the Bible. Train your children. You need to pray. You need to talk to God. You need to get on your knees. And you need to speak to the God of heaven because God's got a will for your life and God needs to be able to speak to you and you need to be able to speak to God so God can direct your life. God can direct your path. Philippians 4:6 says, but in everything but prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We know this is the right way. These are things that we could teach our children. These are things that we could say, no, you're not turning from this. This is the way. You're not turning from this. You're praying. You're going to read your Bible. This is right. That's not being trying to be God in their life. That's teaching them what's right. You're training them. You're helping mold them so God can now take with the direction that you're leading your children in, and now God can take a hold of their life and take control once they yield their life to God. I've heard the saying that God can't steer a parked car. You got to get your children in the right direction. You got to keep your children going. Don't just let them sit back and let you do everything and say, look at me, look at what mommy and daddy are doing. No, you got to teach your children. You serve God. You do right. If you're saved, you're a child of God, God expects you to read your Bible. God expects you to pray. Acts 1:8, what does that say? It says, you shall be witnesses. So what do we teach your children? To be witnesses. You ought to train them. Again, train your children. Not just say, all right, go be a witness. How do you train them? You got to work with them. You got to show them. You got to show them the right way to do it. That means, mom and dad, what should we be doing? Being witnesses. It means, mom and dad, what should we be doing? We should be reading our Bible. What should we be doing? We should be praying. That's how we train them. That's how we train them. This is the way. The Word of God. Prayer. Hebrews 10. 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. What's the right path? What's the right way to go? Train up a child in the way he should go. What's the right way? Go to church. Faithfully. not forsaking the assembling yourselves together. This is something that we got to work on as parents in training our children. We go to church. We go to church. Sunday morning, where do we go? Church. Sunday night, where do we go? Church. Wednesday night, where do we go? Church. What if we're out of town? We find a church to go to. Because you're training your children. It's difficult. It's not always easy. But you can't let up. You can't let up because that's, the Bible says, the way that he should go. And you know, every one of you know that that's the way your child ought to go. They ought to read their Bible. They ought to pray. They ought to be a witness. They ought to be faithful to church. They ought to use their talents to edify the church. 1 Corinthians 14:12 talks about using the gifts to profit, to edify the church, to profit the body. You ought to use your talents for others, not for yourself. And so you ought to teach them to find what their gift is and use it to edify others. You got to train them that way. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15:31 says, I die daily. You ought to train your children to die to self. Not easy, but that's the goal. That's where we ought to be. That's the way they ought to go. And you see it. You know where they need to be. And so you got to work with them and teach them. You know, it's not always about us. Sometimes you got to sacrifice to give to the missionary. Sometimes you got to sacrifice to give to the others. Sometimes you got to sacrifice your time because it's time to go soul winning. Sometimes you got to sacrifice your time because there's a revival meeting going on and I'm going to be in the house of God, not forsake to send myself together. So to teach them to die to self. To die to self. Romans 8, verse 13. I have that scripture written down, but I can't think of what it is, so I'm going to turn to it. Romans 8, chapter 13. Chapter 8, verse 13. Paul says, for if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. To die to self. Die to your flesh. And these are things we ought to be training our children because the Bible says, train them in the way they should go. And these are things that we know. You don't know God's will for their life, their perfect will, where they need to be, and all those things that you can't direct at. But you can direct this. You can train them in this. You can guide them in this. You can help them in this. And you can bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord saying, you need to die to self. You don't have to question that. Say, should I teach my children that? No, you should teach your children as the Bible teaches us that. The Bible teaches us that. Should I teach my children child to be a witness? Is that the way? Is that the will of God? Yes. You don't have to question that. Should I teach my child to read the Bible? Yes. You don't have to question that. These are things that we know. We know. Mark 12, verse 30 says, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. What should we teach our children? To love God. More than self. To love God more than self. And then he also says to go on to say to love others. Love thy neighbor as thyself. So to love God. To love others. And I also got with that love others. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. These are things that we know. These are things that we could say, listen, I'm going to mold and train my child in these manners. I'm going to mold and train my child in these habits that when they're older, they go to church. When they're older, they read the Bible. When they're older, they pray. When they're older, they go soul winning. They love God. They sacrifice themselves and they love others and allow God to direct their path. Allow God to direct their path. And the Bible says, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That tree, and you can look them up, when you look on these training trees, you see these trees that are molded and formed certain ways, bent certain ways to do things. Because the tree naturally is just going to grow towards the sun. That's natural. If it's in a group of trees, it's going to find its way and try to get to the sun. If you want it to do something different, you got to train it. If you want it to get in a certain shape, you got to train it. But once that tree matures, it's set. That tree is hard. That tree, you're not budging it. You're not budging it. You're not going to bend it. You're not going to sway it. It's going to take an act of God to move that tree. And normally in that case, it's breaking it or tearing it down. But as a parent, God's word is always right. It's not easy. It's going to take work. It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take consistency. That's one thing that I've learned and I know with training children, consistency. None of this, I'm going to count to three. One, two and a half, two and three quarters. It's not consistent. If you say, don't do it again or else. There's not no counting. There should be an or else. The child should know. When mom and dad say, they're consistent. And I've tried to be that way with my children. To where they know if daddy says it, he means business. Be consistent. Do not let up. To work. To plan. To see the end goal. What you want. To plan, to make a plan, to make a schedule, to make whatever, to lay it out. This is how I'm going to get there. And then to work at it, not let up. But don't. Not only was I trying to warn you to train your children, God laid this message on my heart to warn you, don't try to be God. I think that's where many, many, many parents mess up and even drive the children away from God. When they try to be God, because then they never allow their child to have a relationship with God, never allow God to speak to their heart and to know God's real. Because God talked to me. God laid this on my heart. God told me. God told me this is the will, his will for my life. You need that. You need God to speak to your children. You need God to direct them. Don't try to be God, because when you are, you overpower in your children's life, and they don't hear the voice of God. That's still a small voice, remember, you know that. It's still a small voice of God. Wants to direct your child, wants to call them to himself, wants to tell them his perfect will, where they will find joy, they'll find peace, they'll find contentment, because they know they're where God wants them to be, and they're doing what God wants them to do. But when you overpower them, and you overpower God, you can hurt your child. Because you're not God. But you do know some things that are right. And we need to work and train our children. Let's all stand. God.